Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Amen. So, we are actually done with Titus and with Timothy. Yeah, it sounds almost like the end of a story, you know. So we went for the last 2 years, we went through Timothy and Titus, and it was wonderful. Last week we ended off. I'm not going to lash onto last week's sermon, but I'm going to point to it maybe once or twice. But last week we spoke about servanthood, and the topic last week was teamwork makes the plan work, which says that we are part of a team. We need fellowship. We need to serve. And this week we will look at healthy habits. And I didn't want to make the title too long, but I did not add what I actually also wanted. But it's like healthy habits and growing hearts. Like healthy habits and how can we continue through habits to grow? Okay, because if I give you healthy habits or a checklist, it will not guarantee growth in Jesus. Amen? What needs to happen for growth in Jesus? Our hearts needs to be at the right place. It needs to be in alignment with the King. And as I also shared last week, that when the King says this needs to be done, I need to get out of the way and I need to do what the King is saying. Okay, and the King obviously is Jesus, but the Holy Spirit, together with Jesus, the Holy Spirit in this case today, will lay things on your heart. Maybe you have a bad habit. Maybe there's sin in your life. Maybe there's hurt. Maybe there's things withholding you from really having a life in abundance. And we will all always have sin. Okay? That's okay. Sona this morning, she shared something beautiful. She shared a big testimony, you know, of how God came and saved her from a big sin. And yes, when we start to know Jesus, we make drastic steps for Him. Yes, we leave alcohol and we stop sleeping together or whatever it may be. But as we grow in our relationship with Jesus, there's small things that withholds us. If there's still big things, please deal with that also. But it's small things. It's often the small things that keeps us away from Jesus. And in our Western culture, we are doctrinated to tick a box. So if we were at church, boom. But often we forget the participation part. Amen? We can often say, okay, what do I need to do as a Christian? And I try to do that. And that's it. And that's sort of, I almost want to say, a lukewarm way of looking at it. Amen? We need to live life full for Jesus. He's the King. That means I lay everything down and I give Him my everything. And when He says there's this thing, maybe you got hurt in church. Maybe someone hurt you. Maybe there's unforgiveness. Maybe there's, you know, bad habits in your life. The Holy Spirit's going to lay it on your heart this morning and you have a choice. You can either deal with it or you can write it down in your book and forget about it. So now this morning she shared James 5, which is, you know, confessing our sins to one another. She said the day when she went and she came to church and she shared the sin with someone, God saved her. God released her from that sin. That's amazing. There's a reason why the Bible says confess your sin to one another and pray for one another, because the prayer of a righteous has power. There's power in prayer. So it's important. And I want to obviously encourage you this morning to pray with someone afterwards, to confess your sin with someone. It's okay to have sin. Just say that to someone next to you maybe. It's okay to have sin. It's not okay to stay with that sin. Okay. It's okay to have sin. It's not okay to stay and to keep that sin. If we know of sin that we have, we confess it. We want to let go of it. Amen. We want to grow. And for growth, what is growth? Growth is to change. Amen. It's to look different. If you come in here this morning and you leave after and you did not change something, you're the same. You did not grow in Jesus one bit. And just something that I want to just put an exclamation mark at the end of it is only what we do for Jesus will last. We had a friend that passed away this week. It reminded me. He's young. He's 2 years older than me. We can go anytime, and the only thing that will count is what we did for Jesus. The way in which we grow. Matthew says, make for yourselves treasures in heaven. I don't know exactly what that means, but it's in the Bible. Amen. It says that we should grow. 1 Thessalonians 4 that says that it's the will of God, our sanctification. To grow. And I want to ask you this morning, obviously I want to give you a bit of tick boxes. I want to give you healthy habits we're going to look at. But I want you to get, we have to always take our hearts on the journey. Otherwise, we become Pharisees. We just tick the boxes, okay? And we don't want that. Then we're living a lukewarm Christianity. So when that change comes, when there's something the Holy Spirit lays on my heart, there will be conflict in your heart because it's the way you did it for the last, I don't know how many years. There will be conflict. It will be tough. And I want you to take that to Jesus. I want you to take that to someone. I want you to share that with someone. I want you to pray together for that thing. Because every single one of us will have something. Amen? We are not perfect. Even if it's a small thing. In Afrikaans, it is a klein jakkelsies. Wat die wingerd verwoes. It's the small jackals that destroys the vineyard. Don't let it go. Okay, let's change for Jesus because he's the best. Amen, and let's let go. This morning we'll also get a bit, it may sound like a bit of a teaching, but I want to explain it a bit. There's two parts of church, you know, or healthy habits that we as Shofar Sekunda, which I want to share with you as well, that is important. And the first thing we should ask ourselves, why do we want to do healthy habits? Because we want to grow in Jesus. We want to fulfill the great commandment, which is how we call it, love God, love people, reach the world. We've all maybe heard that, né? Or that's something we say at Shofar Sekunda. We want to love God, love people, reach the world. And let's take, for instance, worship. It's a way to love God. We can sing. This is a form of worship, singing. Then there's singing with a guitar. We can sing with an organ. We can just read out the Psalms. We can just declare attributes about God. It's different forms of the function, which is to love God and to worship God. Okay, so we'll look a bit at forms and functions as well. To what forms do we use as Shofar Sekunda to fulfill the function as church? Okay, are you excited? I want to ask you, like, if I say the word vacation, what comes to mind? What single word comes to mind? You can say it to someone next to you. Okay, laat ek hoor. Wat se woord het julle? Kamp. That's camping. Beach. Ja. Oh! He says missions. Wat se julle? Ocean, ja. Wat se julle? Rest. That's good. I think when we think of vacation, the function is rest. That's interesting. She called it rest. Many of us, we said beach, you know, we said ocean, we said camping, we said mission. That's different forms of rest. So we're going to look at different ways to what we do church, to function, to love God, and to love people with. Just want to put this a bit louder. Okay, so I'm going to read for us. Hanu stole my my text, but we'll go we'll go through two texts this morning. One of it is Acts 2, which is the first one, which I'll explain a bit more in depth, and then we will also look at another scripture. But Acts 2 verse 42. This is the first church. Okay, this is they had different habits, but they had good habits. Amen. Habits that God gave us in His Word for us to follow. And that is what Wanu also shared this morning. He said they devoted themselves to a few things. To the apostles' teachings, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So one thing that I'd like to say is that this church was not perfect. Amen. But they had, God lays this in His Word, the things they devoted themselves to. And I think it's a good example, you know, for us to follow the things they devoted themselves to. So there were four things, actually five, but four in the first verse, which they devoted themselves to, which is the apostles' teachings. So this is to receive the Word of God. Amen. It can be through many means, but today we're doing that. So today you can tick the box. You know, you are receiving the teaching of the Word. But it's important, I always say, it's important to go and test this Word. So I'd like always, like I always say, go and test the Word, go and read this Word, and make sure that it is what I was saying this morning. Go and test it, but read the Word on your own. But that is the first thing they devoted themselves to, is people that preached, people that taught them the Word of God. Secondly, the fellowship. So the fellowship, if we look at fellowship, the word itself, it may almost sound, you know, as if it's, you know, coming together, spending time together, but this word fellowship actually means joint participation or sharing something in common. We also see verse 44. It speaks of all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And this is exactly what Anu was saying this morning. This word fellowship actually meant we have things in common, and we should support those that is in need. Amen. Those who need it more. It can be anything. I feel that it can be your gift as well. We also share in the Holy Spirit, but we also share in resources, as in cars or money or whatever it may be. And like Anu said, we are not here to say you need to sell everything and let's divide everything amongst ourselves. That's not what it's saying. But it is saying that we should think about, you know, helping one another where it's needed. That it's something they devoted themselves to. I want to share with you two scriptures as well. It's not on the board, but you can listen to it. It says, Galatians 6, verse 6 says, "Now the one who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with the one who teaches." As well in Philippians 4, Paul is thanking the Philippians, you know, saying that you were the church that supported us. I just want to say, I now don't need anything, don't need to share with me, but I mean that if there's people, you know, that needs, we need to be sharing. We need to have a heart of sharing. And these guys, actually what they did in those days, when they wanted to help a brother, they often needed to sell something of their own. They needed to sell something in order for their brother to be able to eat or to stay somewhere, whatever it may be. And in our Western cultures, we are so privileged that we can help other people and we don't have to sell anything. So just understand the way in which they worked. It was really a sacrifice to help someone. Amen? And to have this mindset, you know, that everything we have, in any case, belongs to God. We had this discussion in small group of surrendering our things. And it's not that easy. It's not that easy. To think of, I have something that I like at home that I need to sell so that my brother can eat. It challenges me. 1 Timothy 6 says that we should be content with food and with clothing. And oftentimes, most times, we are very discontent with food and clothing. We want all kinds of other things. Amen? And to test our heart, is everything that I have, is it the Lord's? And can He decide? Is He the King? Or is it me that decide? The gifts that He gave you, which you are making money with, is in any case His gifts. It's in any case His money. So to ask Him, Lord, how should I spend this? And I'm not saying you should give your money to the church or to people or whatever. I'm saying we are working on our hearts here. Okay, we don't want to just tick a box. The Lord wants to grow us in something of fellowship, of sharing with people. And what is that? Often it's we have this habit in our church that if someone gets a baby, we take them food. Yeah. The night we need to take food to some people, oh, it's chaos. And God always tests my heart, man. Like, okay, you need to take food now. And you need to sacrifice. You need to take a bit of extra time. You need to buy more food. You need to take it to them. That's sharing. It's an example of sharing. Okay, and that is a beautiful thing. And we can all grow in that as we are often too comfortable. Amen. Okay, that's the fellowship, sharing and caring about about others in the church. Then thirdly, the breaking of bread. So the breaking of bread is more the coming together. The fellowship as we know it. Nah? This is what breaking of bread means. It means that we should get together. It's a healthy habit to go and eat with someone, spending time with someone, drinking a coffee with someone, having great discussions with people. Small group can serve a bit of this, but it's more intentional if me and my wife go to someone and someone else. Because it's intentional, we have intentional discussions. We eat together. This is really important. We see this also in verse 46. They say, and day by day, attending the temple together, they break bread in their homes. They were having meals in their homes. And this, it may sound as if it's communion, the breaking of bread. Yeah, I'm sure that there is communion there, but we can see in context of this scripture that it's getting together. Okay. So it's important, and I want to ask you that question. Do you get together with other believers in our church? Last week we spoke of building deep relationships. This is part of building that deep relationships. The fourth point that they devoted themselves to was the praise. What is the praise? Well, you don't have to overcomplicate it. It is praying together. It's praying to God. It's praying to one another. And I want to ask you this question. How often are you praying for someone? How often is someone praying for you? Are you praying for your wife? Is your wife praying for you? Are you praying for other believers? Or is it only something that the big Christians does? Are we praying with people? Are we sharing? Are we confessing our sins and praying for one another? We should always be eager to pray. Amen. When we pray, we give it to God. When we do not pray, we keep it for ourselves. So as we pray, we trust the Lord for whatever it is. I want to encourage you with this. Just pray a lot. Pray a lot for people. If there's an issue, there's something going on, pray for them. God is mighty. It grows our faith as well to pray. There's a lot of good things coming from prayer. And the first thing we say is gathering in the temple. So we don't have a temple today. We have a church, but this gathering in the temple, this happened day by day. They say every day they gathered in the temple. What is this? It is spending time with God. Yeah, it's spending time with one another as well, as they saw other people in the temple, definitely, and then they went and they broke bread. But it's also quiet time. We see that Jesus, in Luke 5, he went early in the morning and he spent time with his Father before anyone was awake. And I want to encourage us. You know, so often we want to spend time with God in the shower, or we want to spend time with God in the car. And it's great. But I want to challenge you to spend time with God that's a sacrifice. To say, this time, Lord, I sacrifice to you. I could have done something else. I could have showered. I could have drove. But I don't. I spend it with you. Okay, it's important. We sacrifice time, spending time with Jesus. Obviously, I want to ask you, this is healthy habits, ne? How is it going with your quiet time? Is it something that you prioritize? Even if it's 10 minutes before you start your car, take out the Bible. Even if it's at home, start easy. Don't start with an hour of prayer and worship and reading Bible. Start small if you need to, but spend time with God. It's worth crazy amounts. Like I've seen, I heard so many testimonies. I have so many testimonies of when I spent good quiet time. And as we see this habits, you know, things that we need to do or that is healthy for us, we can easily fall into this legalism. Into a Pharisee, okay, I need to tick these boxes. And be aware of ticking boxes. Okay, we need to take our hearts along with the journey. Saying, remembering Jesus' death. Remembering that He is the King. Remember that I need to surrender. Remember that I want to grow. Amen? And that it's going to be painful to grow. It's going to be painful to change. But take your heart with on this journey. Okay, our second scripture and second pieces of habits is Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. And it says this, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So once again, we want to take our hearts with on this journey. Amen. I want to, so we start off, we have four P's that we're going to highlight with this scripture. The first one is preparation. Preparation. And the first part we'll look at is let us consider how. Let us consider how And I maybe will add to stir. Okay, let us consider how to stir. And it's very interesting. When we read this scripture, we always see good works. We always say love and good works is the focus. It can almost sound that way. But the focus here is to consider. Consider how to stir one another. So this morning, I also read this verses in English because it just says it a bit better. But consider is to think, consider how to stir. Okay? Remember this. Consider how to stir. And it's really important because this is the action point. Consider is to think and to pray. That is the action point. God is saying you should pray and think a lot. Prepare. That is the P. Preparation. Think a lot about what? How? Okay, what should we do? We should stir. I don't know who of you knows in Afrikaans, we use this word, jy moet nou nie stir nie. You shouldn't be stirring. Nee? So stirring is something that creates tension. And I almost want to say that it makes sense to me if I read the scripture. We should consider, think, pray, how we stir one another. Amen. To love and good works. Because we want one another to do love and good works. But that's not the focus. The focus is to consider. And how often do we prepare in this way? How often do we pray to God how we should stir one another? How often do we pray for our small groups and for the people in our small groups? Even if you are not the leader. But how often do you pray for your friend and how God wants to lead them and guide them? And I want to ask you this question. Is this a habit of praying for people? And it will be different. That's why it says how. If we had a recipe of stirring one another, it will look like this. But it is not. That's why Paul is saying, or the writer of Hebrews is saying, consider how we stir. And it will look different. If I stir Peter, it will look different as I'm stirring Lyndon or Stefan, because they are different people. So I need to pray about how. And how is my relationship with this person? And how am I going to stir this person to love God, love people, and do good works and be fruitful? So if we see friends of ours that are not fruitful, it is our job to consider how to stir them. Amen? And this is the first P, it's preparation. And this preparation, we should do this every time we meet together. Every time we come to church, we prepare our hearts as well. But we pray for people around us. The second P is present. And it is important. You need to be present. And we see it's very straightforward here in verse 25. It says, not neglecting to meet together. But do not neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some. And it's not only at church, it's also small group, it's also coffees with one another, it's breaking of bread, it's coming together a lot. And yes, obviously there's time to be at home as well, now and then. But I want to encourage you to be present. It's important. You cannot grow if you are not present. Okay, so it is part of the tick box. You have to tick it. But then after that comes participation. That's the third P. And that is what Hebrews is saying. It's speaking about stirring. It's speaking about encouraging one another. And that is to participate when I'm present. And then we spoke about it. I mentioned it in the introduction a lot this morning. But part of participation is to get my heart at a place where I say, Lord, I want to meet with you. I want you to come and change me. And I want to be willing to change. Okay, it's often a painful process. Yeah, it's laying down some of myself, but it's repenting of sin. It's confessing sin. It's praying together. It's interacting with the Holy Spirit. It's speaking to the Holy Spirit. And it is also, like this passage is saying, encouraging one another. Amen. And our fourth P is perspective. As you see the day drawing near. What day? Is it Monday? No. It's the day Jesus comes back. It gives us perspective. It reminds us. If I think of my own life, you know, I work for the church. I can often fall into this tick box mentality because I'm always here, but my heart can be far from God. I can be here, but my heart can be far. I need to remember Jesus. There's so many verses, I can't even remember how many, but remember Jesus. Paul say, remember Jesus. It helps us getting our hearts at that place. Remembering that Jesus comes back. And as I said in the beginning, that you can only take with what you've done for Jesus. You cannot take with your car. You cannot take with your house. You cannot take with your bank account. It's going to stay here. Expensive firewood. I want to encourage you, think, consider, what am I doing? And am I making Jesus the King? That's how we participate. That's how we gain perspective. So remember these four P's. We prepare, we are present, we participate, and we remember the perspective. We remember Jesus. And as I, in the beginning, we shared a bit about forms and functions. The function is to love Jesus, to love God, to love one another, to reach the world. We as Shofar Secunda, we have a few forms in which we do this. There's a lot, but there's four things I want to mention to you today. And we call it C-triple-S. C-S-S-S. Okay, and it's church, it's small group, it's self, and it's serve. And we feel that this is healthy habits. Healthy habits for you to be a part of, to make sure that you grow in Jesus. It's not a guarantee that you'll grow in Jesus, but sometimes we grow by accident because God is graceful. Amen. But let's grow intentional. Let's get our hearts on that place and we pray together. And I just want to briefly touch on each of these. We all understand church and the importance of church. And here we are. Praise Jesus. This is church doing life together in a way that's not very intimate. We receive the word, and yes, we have a coffee at the back or so, but it's not super intentional further. We pray together, we confess our sins, but I want to encourage you, and it has a very important place. Church will never stop doing it. Amen. We'll always do it. But the other four things is just as important. The second one is small group. And I want to touch a bit on where we see small groups in the Bible. There's a passage, Exodus 18, verse 17 to 21. I won't read you the whole passage, but it's where Jethro is Moses' father-in-law. And he says to Moses, you know, there's many people here. You are going to wear yourself out. You need to choose people that can lead small groups of people. I'm going to read you that verse 21. You know, Jethro saying to Moses, moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. And we see these small groups happening. Because if we want to care of everyone, we'll end up caring for no one. Are you with me? And therefore it's important, like we shared in the beginning, you are your brother's keeper, that we grow one another, and also we get to small group. We build that deep relationships. And it's, you won't build a deep relationship if you go to small group once a month. Amen? We need to be there. We need to be rooted in fellowship together. We also see Jesus used small groups. He chose 12 disciples. He could have chosen 100. And there was a lot of followers, but he chose 12. And then also he chose 3 that was his inner circle, which he did life with. And he's creating for us a platform to follow the example. Amen. And there will always be people in small group that challenges you. Amen. That's great. That is very good. If we are in our comfort zones, we won't grow. God gave us people around us to grow. And it's a privilege, because that growth is the only thing you'll take with to heaven. Amen. So pray for difficult people in your small group. It will grow you. Amen. Okay, then we come at self. It's the second S. Self, you cannot be a Christian without having a relationship with Jesus, the living God. John 17 verse 3 says that this is eternal life, that they may know you, Jesus Christ. This is eternal life, that they know you. And we see Jesus giving us this example, as I mentioned earlier. He went early. He spent time with the Father. Another thing that falls under self is accountability. It's the first time we mention it today. Accountability is overlooked, but it is such a special thing. Accountability is when two people, they decide together, we want to keep one another accountable for life. Not for your whole life, but in life, as we do things. You may have an accountability partner for a few months or 5 years, doesn't matter. But who is your accountability partner? To who can you go and confess that sin and pray together, and that guy or that girl will keep you accountable? For example, let's say I scream at my wife. Now I struggle with this. I want to repent of it. Saying, Lord, please help me to repent of this. I go to someone. I'm saying, you know, now and then I scream at my wife, or I eat her, or whatever it may be. And I feel so bad. I want to repent of this. Help me. And this person can obviously pray for you, can share knowledge, share wisdom. And next week, this person can ask, how is it going with screaming at your wife? It's just an example. I can name any example, any sin we struggle with. But it is important, because this is what helps us. This morning, Sona also shared. It was with when she shared with someone, asked them to keep them, to keep her accountable. There the growth came by itself. She was struggling with this thing for a long time. Get an accountability partner. Spend time with Jesus. And then we get to the last one, which is serving. So I want to say, God made you, you. He did not make you someone else. He made you with gifts that He wants you to use for Him. That in itself should, you should be like, yes, I want to serve. I want to serve Him somewhere. And definitely in the church as well. And I mentioned last week, at work, we serve Jesus. At home, we serve Jesus. But also in our church, we serve Jesus. 1 Corinthians 12, it's not on the board, but You'll recognize it maybe, but it says this. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. And I want to say, maybe this morning you feel, ach, I don't have much to bring. God says, He loves what you bring. Okay, He loves what you bring. Even if it's a really small thing. Even if it feels minute to you. I want you to trust God and bring that gift. Amen. And ask Him, how can I use the gifts that you are placing on my heart? So church, small group, self and serve. We remember the peace, preparation, being present, participating, perspective. And the first churches devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to sharing the fellowship, the breaking of bread, getting to homes, getting to people, eating together, praying, and quiet time, gathering in the temple. So we can throw up those last few two questions. And I want you to pray through this. I want you to get your heart at a place where God may change you. It's something that you need to do. The Holy Spirit, I say, is a gentleman. It's not going to force you to change. You need to decide to make the change. What is God calling you to do? Do you have healthy habits? And am I willing to change for Jesus, even if it means that I give up some things? And I want to say earthly things. Some of myself, something that I cannot take to heaven. I'm going to have to give up those things. It's not kingdom things we give up for Jesus. All kingdom things are good. If we change, we take those with. Amen. And then I want you to really pray with someone. If you need to come to the front, if you want to share something with me or pray with someone in front, you can also do that. But pray with someone and mention to them what you want prayer for. Confessing your sins, confessing the things you struggle with. And don't forget it. If you wrote it in a book today, don't forget about that book. Deal with those things. Amen.